shortly. Just wait for the recording.
Yep, that's you now.
All right. Thank you, sir. Evening, members. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. We have a healthy enough agenda, not as heavy as what our officers generally try and give us for our committee. So we'll try and not be as long maybe tonight as usual. Item one, obviously, is there any apologies to be recorded?
It's an apology from Councillor Dorn.
Councillor Dorn. Any others from the floor? No. All right. Item two then, members' declarations of interest, both members and officers.
Chair, can I declare an interest in item 14?
Yep. Thank you, Marie. Any other declarations? No. All right. Okay, members, then we'll move to item three, which is the action sheets from the SPNR committee meeting held on the 11th of February. And as per usual, we'll go through page by page for accuracy, and I'll look for a proposal and a seconder, and then any matters arising. So page one, page two, page three, page four, page five, and finally page six. And the proposer and seconder for the action sheet, proposed by Councillor Gallagher and seconded by Councillor Savage. Does any members have any matters arising? Nope. Okay, we'll
Chair,
move on.
Just at the last meeting, members have asked us just to update them on any matters and to keep it as a standing item on the action sheet on any matters prevailing to PHA, you know, using our facilities for any testing or vaccinations. So I suppose, members, just to give you an update on where we are, as you'll know from your last meeting, our COVID testing continues in the Albert Basin site until the end of June. We've facilitated a number of individual surgery-specific requests around use of car parking in Newry, etc. You may have seen on social media now we have a mobile testing unit in DLC from today, open from 9 until 3. And Solus are currently working with the Department of Health and the PHA to consider introducing asymptomatic testing across councils. So we continue to work with the PHA and we'll keep you updated as requested.
Jorina, just on the Downpatrick Leisure Centre, or the Down Leisure Centre, sorry, have they given an indication how long that testing unit will be there? No.
No, not at this stage, no. So as we've explained to you before, the PHA monitor all the statistics and they put the mobile units in really as they see fit. So they haven't advised us at this point.
Okay, all right. Obviously it's there until they inform us of such. Okay, perfect. Okay, members, if nothing else on that, we'll move to item four, which is the draft performance improvement objectives. And that's yourself, Kate.
Yep, thanks, Chair. So you've all received copies of the reports which outline the draft performance improvement objectives we are proposing for the 2021-22 financial year and the timeline of activity that's required to publish the performance improvement plan by the 30th of June in line with the statutory timescale. So just by way of background, through the Local Government Act, the Council has a duty to set performance improvement objectives every year. And in response to the pandemic, this duty was suspended for the 2020-21 financial year. However, DFC confirmed just back in January there that all councils are now required to publish their performance improvement plans by the 30th of June, in line with the legislative requirements. So the draft performance improvement objectives that we are proposing are outlined in Appendix 1, and you'll see that we are proposing five objectives which focus on a range of themes, including our parks and open spaces, the economy, the cleanliness of our district, how we support local communities through the financial assistance scheme, and about improving the performance of the planning service. The report before you provides an overview of why each objective was selected, our progress and key achievements during the year, the activities we plan to undertake next year, how we will measure our success and the outcomes local people and local stakeholders can expect to see as a result of what we plan to do. So the objectives have very much been developed within the context of the new corporate plan, and they also take account of the proposals for improvement which were put forward by the Northern Ireland Audit Office in 2019, which basically suggested that our objectives should be more specific and they should be underpinned by meaningful measures, with targets being set where it is appropriate to do so. The objectives are also based on a robust and reliable evidence base, particularly the consultation we carried out last year around the impact of COVID-19 on our corporate plan. So subject to the approval of the committee this evening, the objectives will need to go out to consultation for a period of 8 weeks. During this time, you'll see from Appendix 2, we do plan to carry out a fairly comprehensive engagement programme where we will have an online survey and engage with key stakeholder groups, including our DEA forums, youth councils, you know, our older people's forum. And we'll also reach out to other Section 75 groups through the Ethnic Minority Support Centre and the CEDAR Foundation. So the consultation feedback will inform the final objectives, which we'll bring back to this committee for approval in June. So just to summarise, Chair, we're here to seek approval for the draft performance improvement objectives and the approach to develop the performance improvement plan, including authorisation to proceed with an 8-week consultation commencing on Monday the 15th of March.
Okay, thank you, Kate. I see Councillor Murray's proposed and seconded by Councillor Savage. Does any members have any questions? No, I've just a couple of questions, Kate, quickly. The 8 weeks is shorter than what would have been done previously. It would have been 12 weeks, I think, previously. And the local newspapers, that'll be under the procurement that we had done of the geographics of the three newspapers across to make sure there's fairness. And then my last question I had was in relation to the first one around the forest parks and the healthy access. Will the other parks that the council have, such as Delmont, also be listed for the measure of success for visitors? It's not listed. It's Kilbroney, Sleepgullion, Carlingford, Greenway and Warm Point. They're just a couple of questions I had.
Okay, well, I'll start with your first question around the 8-week consultation timeframe. Yes, usually we do try to meet the 12-week consultation as outlined in the equality scheme. However, because we only got confirmation on the 20th of January from the Department for Communities that we were required to publish the performance improvement plan this year, by the 30th of June, when you work between these two timescales, it wouldn't really have been possible or feasible to have the 12-week consultation. Which is why we're proposing an 8-week consultation, and we hope that the fairly comprehensive engagement programme will help compensate for the lesser timescale that we're proposing. In relation to the newspapers, we will be issuing the public notices. I think it goes out in 4 of the newspapers across the district, but we will make sure there's a spread, and I'll work with marketing to make sure that happens. And in relation to the parks and open spaces, yes, at the minute, it's my understanding that Delamont doesn't have the official visitor counter, to count the number of visitors coming through the park. But you'll see that one of the actions for going forward for this year is to potentially install a visitor counter system so that we can track the number of people who are visiting Delamont Country Park, similar to the way we do in Sleepgullion and Kilbroney.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Kate. Councillor Byrne?
Thanks, Chair. No, that's actually a mistake. I'm trying to get something off my screen, and I hit Q.
Oh, right, okay.
Cheers.
Did you get it off your screen all right?
It just went off when I was speaking, when I unmuted my mic, so it's gone. It says switch to calendar mode. I couldn't get it off. Thanks.
Okay. All right, Kate, so we've proposed and seconded there. No further questions, so that's been approved. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, members, item 5, which is the minutes of the Newry City Centre Regeneration Board, is for noting. But Councillor Savage, I take it that queue was for item 5.
Yes, Chair. Chair, it's just in relation to the regeneration scheme in Uri and the potential office element of it. I have voiced, as you know, concerns about what the market will dictate going forward, based on the changed environment that we now live in, with a lot of people working from home, large companies doing polls of their staff, and in some cases up to 60-70% of their staff are happy to at least work part, if not all, of the time from home. So, you know, I think we've a huge body of work to do on that element of the regeneration scheme. And, Chair, you know, I also believe as well that we need to be careful as a council that we're not being seen to be competing with the private sector. We're here to encourage the private sector and act as a stimulus for the private sector. And I see, and I do welcome this week, the news that our planning committee yesterday passed a multi-billion pound revitalisation scheme for Pierce's Gate at Merchants Quay in Uri. And the reason why I'm flagging this up tonight is, you know, when speaking to those who were prepared to come and develop in our city, part of that scheme involves 15,000 square feet of high-grade, quality, custom-built office space. And I really do think that our Regeneration Project Board in Uri needs to look very seriously at some of the private sector options that are coming to our city, people who have voted with their feet and come in and shown confidence in our city. And this isn't just Pierce's Gate, it's just one example of a number that we know are in the pipeline. But I think, you know, it's incumbent on ourselves as a council to look very seriously at some of the other options that are there now, either for housing our own staff, because it's very important from all councillors across the board within the chamber here want to see us move out of Monaghan Row as quickly as possible to facilitate the long-term future development and security of Daisy Hill Hospital. But I also believe as well that we need to be looking at having options available to us that meet the need in the future, that build in flexibility and also encourage private investment into our city. And I know that we have fairly generic plans there for office space within the city deal element of the regeneration scheme. But I believe that that has to be scoped out an awful lot more. Those who sit on the project board will be able to probably explain how that work has been carried forward. But I think it's imperative now that we need, as a project board, to be looking at those schemes that are coming into the city, particularly on the back of this one being passed for planning yesterday. It's a fantastic mixed-use scheme from what I can see. Obviously, it has conditions to meet in planning, and I would encourage those to be met as quickly as possible that we get this development out of the ground. But most of these projects need solid anchor tenants in relation to office accommodation. Our council is looking for office accommodation at the moment that is fit for purpose and could be built to scale. And I think it is potentially us to look at a potential plan B if the consultation comes back in relation to the civic hub element of the city deal, where people maybe aren't as warm as we would want them to be on that idea, that at least we have other options to explore that are cost effective, meet our ratepayers' needs and give our staff a 21st century accommodation. I firmly believe that all these schemes that are coming into Newry at the moment, if we are really to act as a stimulus as a council to encourage job creation and job protection in our city and throughout the district, we need to be working these schemes in to our overall thinking in relation to this project. And that includes where we house our staff in the city, where we have a chamber, for example, to hold our meetings. And I think that life has changed beyond all recognition in the last 12 months. I, for example, in my own job, have worked at least 11 and a half months out of the last 12 from home. I'm busier now than I've ever been, and I can pay testimony to the fact that productivity is an awful lot higher maybe when you're working from home, because you get time to focus and concentrate. And at times you do run on to a lot of hours at night because you don't escape from it. You don't walk out the door and turn the key. So I think that a lot of businesses, a lot of public sector organisations are looking a real change, seismic change in how they operate. And I think we would be blindsiding ourselves if we didn't look at those options, that we didn't take everything into the melting pot and ensure that, you know, these private investments that are coming into our city, people here prepared to put their money where their mouth is and invest in the future of our city, that we need to be looking at how we as a council don't compete with those, but we encourage those and we stimulate those, because our job as a council is to stimulate growth. It's not to compete with the public, with the private sector. And I think if we are going to create jobs on coming out of this terrible pandemic that could potentially decimate a lot of sectors, that we look at all the possibilities. And I would propose tonight that as part of the work of the project board, that they look at the number of private schemes, particularly those that have top of the range, grade A office accommodation as part of their schemes, and ensure that they're encompassed in the thinking of how we progress the regeneration of Newry, but not only Newry, but look at Downpatrick and the other schemes that we're looking at as well. So, Chair, I would propose that the project board encompasses those schemes that are either going through planning or through planning or envisaged in the future as part of our overarching thinking on the regeneration of Newry and our town centre such as Downpatrick. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, and is there a seconder for that, Councillor Savage? Councillor
Yes,
Dalliger. Okay. All right. I do have a couple of other councillors looking in. Councillor O'Murray.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I can't help but feel that Councillor Savage is addressing the wrong committee here. Should Councillor Savage not have gone to the Regeneration Programme Board himself as a Newry City Councillor and told them that he thinks what they're doing isn't the right way? I read through the minutes myself and was prepared to come and propose the minutes in good faith that the councillors that are on it are representing the views of the people of Newry and the wider area and doing a very good job. And I know some of our councillors sit on it and feedback that the group's working very well together in that. I can't see for the life of me what difference Councillor Savage thinks coming and, you know, whether he's having a go or whether he's coming up with a fantastic new solution that the project board haven't thought of before. We've heard it from dozens of different people that there may not be the need for office space, as much office space, post-pandemic. And that may be right. It may be wrong, but it may be right. We may not need it. But I have never been at a meeting of the project board. But I'm near sure that somebody has discussed this somewhere along the way. I don't think it's a new thing. I don't see what the logic of bringing it up at SPNR when all we were asked to do was note the minutes of the project board. So, look, I'm happy to note the minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor O'Murray. And not to defend Councillor Savage, but he isn't a member of the board, so he's not, so he wouldn't be able to bring that up. And given that the plan approval is only done this week, it may be given, it had just give permission that it may be a new idea, but I'm happy to your comments, Councillor O'Murray. Councillor Brown?
Yes, thanks, Chair. I actually thought Councillor Savage was a member. I thought all Newry DEA councillors are, but that's fair enough. He has his right to have his say. And of course, Alliance isn't represented in that body either. So this forum's really the only place we can have our say in regard to the minutes from that. I have to say it's great to see the SDLP finally on the same page as Alliance and many others about this financially reckless civic centre and office building proposal. Although they were slow learners, and anyone looking closely and not blinded to the failings of this project all along should have really known this a long time ago, as Alliance and others were indeed warning. But ultimately, the real test of this project and its viability will be through the public consultation that we've all agreed to hold. And we will have the chance to scrap the office elements, including elements of the civic centre or the civic centre in its entirety or the private sector office space proposals, if as a council we decide to do so. I'd like to ask officers if they could update on when they plan to launch that consultation, now that this committee, as of last month, has finalised the structure and the wording of that consultation.
Councillor Brown, the consultation is live already.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And it's been published on the council's Facebook and social medias, so it is readily available.
Okay. Councillors weren't notified, clearly.
I saw it. So it is. So. Okay. All right. Connor, Councillor Byrne, is it brief? Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, it is brief. It's actually, I have to say it from the start. I should have said it at the start, but I didn't think it was going to be brought up. I'm a member of the program board, so I have to declare an interest. I can't be advising myself from a committee to do something on the program board, so I want to declare an interest. But I do just want to say that all options are discussed at the program board. We have a lot of discussion, and the outline business case is out for public consultation. I certainly won't be second-guessing what's in the public consultation, but we want to get the information back from the public consultation and make decisions or make recommendations to SBNR. And that has always been the case, and we always take in all elements of what's happening across the city, and that hasn't changed, and nor will it change going forward. And I want to reiterate briefly what I had said the last time about people on this committee engaging what comes out of the programme board, and I find it extremely disappointing that members of the committee are being critical when they don't know the membership of the programme board and don't even know that the consultation is live. I mean, that is basic. That is really, really basic. So if we get up to speed before criticising, but I want to declare an interest on any recommendations coming back to the programme board as I'm a member.
Okay. All right. I think everyone's content with the proposal from Councillor Savage, saying to be Councillor Gallagher, unless otherwise. Nope. Okay, folks. We'll move on then. So the following items are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. So I need a proposer and seconder to go into closed session, please. Proposed by Councillor Howell, seconded by Councillor Gallagher. Okay, folks, I'll just wait for the recording to be.
The member of press has said that he's not coming back onto the call. The recording has started.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Sarah. Okay. So just while in closed session, the following items were discussed. Item 6, the draft health and safety policy agreed on the proposal of Councillor Gallagher, seconded by Councillor Howe, that elected members review and approve the final draft of the health and safety policy. Item 7, progress report information strategy working group agreed on the proposal of Councillor Murray, seconded by Councillor McGuinness. The elected members are requested to endorse the following actions: that the council adopts the following 7 principles around information. Information is a valued asset. Information is managed. Information is fit for purpose. Information is standardized and linkable. Information is reused. Information is published where appropriate. Citizens and businesses can access information about themselves. And corporately, we prioritize a digital-first approach to council records. Item 8, terms and conditions for staff working at Warm Point. Port agreed on the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Gallagher. The elected members consider and approve the proposed set of terms and conditions and agree that they should be back to you to the 1st of January 2021. Item 9, the plan advisory consultant agreed on the proposal of Councillor Walker, seconded by Councillor Murphy. The elected members consider the report and approve the extension of the plan advisory consultant commission for a further 24 weeks at the estimated cost outlined in the officer's report. Item 10, career break scheme agreed on the proposal of Councillor Howell, seconded by Councillor McGuinness. The elected members approve the introduction of the attached career break scheme with effect from the 1st of April 2021. Item 11, professional fees for officers, agreed on proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Howell. The elected members approve the introduction of the payment of professional fees policy for officers with effect 1st of April 2021. Item 12, local government staff commission, dissolution funding and continuing operations 2021-2022, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Hanlon. The elected members approve the payment of requested sum from the local government staff commission as detailed in the officer's report and write to the commission to highlight concerns at the increase of payment sum and dissolving time frame. Item 13, terms and conditions update. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Savage. The elected members note the request submitted by the Joint Trade Union Secretary and management side position at 2.8 and proceed with option 3 at the cost outlined in the officer's report to allow a detailed work plan to be established and brought back to further committee meeting for consideration. Item 14, request to carry over leave for Marie Ward. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Savage. The elected members approve the request by Marie Ward to carry over leave. The item 15, the wide area network contract settlement. It was agreed to note the contents of the report. And item 16, the Strategic Finance Working Group Action Sheet, 18th of February 2021. It was agreed to note the action sheet of the Strategic Finance Working Group, 18th of February 2021. That's brought us to the end of the committee meeting, members. Thank you very much and enjoy the rest of your evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair.
Cheers.